Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the simplest way to create a landing page or beautiful website for your portfolio, your blog, business, or online store. Enter offer code AboutAndroid and get 10% off. Squarespace, you should. And by LegalZoom, it's National Small Business Month. Get started today with an incorporation or LLC, plus legal advice from independent attorneys in 48 states, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Go to LegalZoom.com now and enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week. Get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 255, recorded on Tuesday, March 1st, 2016, where you weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
Man, 255 episodes, and Jason mixes it up on the open.
Why not?
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, Flo?
You do something 254 times, and when you change it, it freaks me out.
I think it's the, it's the switch.
I liked it. It was good.
I can't handle change.
I know. Deal with it. So is this, wait a minute, were we all three here last week?
I was on Skype. No. Flo was here.
Okay, so it was all different.
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, were you were gone. Insane. You were mobile world.
Oh, no, she was off. Yeah, she was off. See, and Mateo was here.
Uh-huh.
And I was in New York.
Uh-huh, okay.
So it was halfway to me.
I was halfway, yeah. Because I really wanted the ham. And I was like, I'm just going to go.
Did you get it?
And I made it as far as New York.
I didn't bring any ham. I was so scared of customs.
It was literally one of those situations where I ran to the airport. I ran to the gate. The plane was there. And they said, I said, I have to get to Spain. I need this ham. And they said, well, where's your passport? And I went,
oh, ID.
And then I just went, I walked back sadly. And the plane took off without me.
Flo, you had one job.
Ham. One job. That's
no.
it.
No. I had no time to do anything. The only thing I had time to do was impulse shop for a pair of shoes. Shoot, which I was going to wear today to put on the show. Next week. I'll wear them next week. They're great.
There are many times that we see your feet on the show, but good idea.
Are these shoes made of Spanish ham?
No, but they're made in Italy.
Close. No, so close. No? No.
Okay. I'm not gonna accept that.
I had to reward myself with something, you guys.
Right. No, I understand you worked hard at Mobile World Congress, but how do we get rewarded?
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm looking
for. I'm back.
Really, really important.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I love someone in the chat room goes, you can order the ham from Amazon, you know.
Not the same. joining us. Strangely, I don't know why we haven't had Ryan Whitwam on the show before, but it's awesome to get you on today. AndroidPolice.com. How's it going?
It is going very well.
It's fantastic to have you here, Ryan. We actually have one of your stories in the rundown as well. I'm very excited to talk to you about it. Have you ever been to Mobile World Congress?
I have not.
Do you want to go to Barcelona?
Are you paying? Like right now, is that happening?
I'm not. Well, we'll see what we can do. I doubt we can send you to Barcelona this year, but I don't know. Do you aspire to do these conferences? Or are you happy to skip them?
I write for a lot of publications, so it's sort of a question of if I go someplace for one site, like I can't do work for anybody else. So it's actually financially kind of problematic for me to do that.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Yes, so I should mention you're a freelance writer and editor for Android Police, but yeah, you've got your work spread all over the web.
He also writes for us.
Yes, for Greenbot. This is true.
Oh, wow. We got double Greenbot going on. Double Greenbot.
Wow.
Yeah.
And neither of them are wearing green.
It's like a Greenbot sandwich right now.
Yeah, it's like a Greenbot sandwich. Yeah. And the green is up there. There.
Okay.
All right. There you go. You're wearing green.
Jason's wearing green.
Oh. You're wearing green. I'm not.
Shade of 50 shades of green.
Yeah. Mm. Apparently so. This week,
we're a good Android parody.
Well done, Flo. You should write that one down. You should do 50 Shades of Green, I think.
I'm going to do fan fiction right now.
Yeah, I mean, Android is a huge number of people, users, so you've got a large number of people that would actually be interested in a book like that. So I'm just
saying, go for some slash fic Android style.
Oh, my God. That would be the dirtiest thing ever. But anyway.
All right. This week, we aren't going to be talking about the dirtiest thing ever. At least I don't think so. It might come up organically. Instead, we'll be talking about the first leaky bits of Android N. That was unfortunate.
That would be a chapter of the slash fic.
Yes, it would.
Android's leaky bits.
That was an unfortunate little pairing there.
That was great.
The real reason we think behind Project Tango could finally be coming into view. My time with the next bit, Robin here. We've heard Flo's opinion on this, and I'm curious to be kicking around a little bit more. I don't know, maybe a little Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, which we happen to have because Leo got it from T-Mobile early somehow. I don't know how that happened, but T-Mobile, what are you doing? What are you doing? These aren't supposed... Anyways, we've got it. Samsung's awesome, I think, ad campaign. I don't know if you guys have seen the ads. We'll take a look. And so much more.
So many ads.
We don't need to watch all the ads.
Well, yeah, we'll
we
talk
can
about
watch
it. We'll talk
an
about
ad
it.
Or
we'll
something. But before anything else, it's imperative that we jump into the news.
You may be able to order a Spanish ham on Amazon, but you can't order Android news. Stay tuned.
Well done, Ryan. Well done. That was good. Optical.
You know, just real quick before we get into all the stuff here,
Is this breaking?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is breaking news.
Breaking news.
Here we go.
Okay. Kind of.
Breaking enough. Breaking. When you do a weekly show.
You need a reason to do breaking news. Google I.O. Has a new site up, so you can go there. You can count down to the day that you can begin to register, which is March 8th.
Okay.
8th through the 10th, you can do your registration dance and try and get in.
It's a sexy little site with the material design and the animations.
Good luck getting a hotel room.
Yeah. Are there even hotels in Mountain View?
Yeah, I got a hotel room nearby. I booked it the minute the dates were announced.
So you would not go home each day?
No, man, no. I live 65 miles away.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot you live in
it's
Oregon.
It's really bad in traffic.
Right.
Ryan.
Look at all those people. They're having so much fun. Ooh, I like the logo this year, too. It's young and hip.
It actually reminds me of the next bit, Robin.
Yeah, it's very Robin.
It's very, very Robin.
Yeah, it does.
Ryan, are you planning to attend? Is Google I/O one of those must goes for you? Or
I don't know if I'm going to end up going this year. I know Android Police has a few tickets to do coverage, and then I'm probably going to register. When that opens up, just to see if I can get a ticket, I guess. But the thing about the registration, again, this year they're doing the raffle, so you just sign up sometime between when it opens and closes, and they will randomly decide, you know, who gets to pay them $900 for a ticket.
It's like the presidential election. Anybody with money can run.
It's true.
Yeah. All it's Google true. Wants is your money. Unless you're a student, then you only have to give them $300 of it.
Just a little bit of money. Yeah.
Did you have to, like, write an essay, too?
I don't know. That would be great. If you did that.
Well, while you guys are down in Mountain View, I'll be in the city at Moscone, just with my hands up on the glass, looking at the orthodontist conference
or whatever
going on
is.
At Moscone.
I just don't even remember what part of the body the conference is for that.
Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see as more details about I/O comes out. We'll be keeping, you know, as we start hearing about the program tracks and things like that, and of course the I/O rumor mill. The countdown can begin. We're just 2 months away, so.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. But that said, talk about rumor mill and talk about people going crazy over things, specifically app draws and notification pains. This past weekend, there was a ton of talk out on the internet about how the Google Maps Twitter account tweeted out a video of the next of a Nexus 6P showing a home screen. It was advertising. It was tied in with the Oscars. It was about, you know, movies and movie locations. But it, very astute eyeballs on the video noticed that the home screen of the Nexus 6P did not have an app draw, and people freaked out. Google confirmed with Droid Life that the video represents a bad mock-up of the UI and is not a view for the future. So this is not a case of them, you know, using a Nexus 6P running Android N, for example, and then taking the video from it. It is not one of those situations. So,
Can I freak out yet?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
Ah!
Wow.
That's how I feel right now.
Is that how you felt?
It's my official reaction.
Okay.
On the record. That's how I
feel.
There were
so many things wrong with that image in the first place. I don't know why people got so bent out of shape about it. The status bar is like 50% gray. The nav bar is opaque. The icons are misaligned. It says 5 o'clock in the status bar. It's just everything about it was wrong. And Google's marketing people have a history of doing things like this where they make markups that are just wrong. It happens all the time.
Well, thing is that the important thing to note is that what's going on inside the phone is not actually happening on a phone. It's happening on some editor's desktop. It's making animation out of what could appear in a phone. It's 100%.
Yeah, they have like visual assets for the phones to make their ads, and they sort of put them together, and they don't check to make sure that it's necessarily accurate for the way Android actually works. It just looks nice.
Right. Shouldn't they, though? Shouldn't they do that?
You would think. I don't know. I guess maybe it's a logistically challenging thing to have marketing people bugging engineers all the time about whether or not their ads are accurate.
Yeah, I guess
that's a conversation the engineers love to have. Let me tell
I don't
you.
Know. And I hate to pose the comparison, but I don't feel like this is something that Apple would ever do.
Yes, thank you.
They would never do
that.
It just feels kind of sloppy to me.
Yeah. I feel like there have been examples of that, though. I feel like Apple has made missteps. I don't know what they are. No examples.
No, I know Apple makes missteps, but I don't know. It just feels a little sloppy.
Apple's also not posting a bunch of 30-second clips of phone UIs on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
They're much more focused. They have the time to get their ads right.
And also, let's be honest that Apple's not really advertising Apple Maps since it's not very good. So,
right to the core of the
issue. There you go. But so that was a little much ado about nothing, but much ado about something happened actually in an article, Ryan, that you wrote that you posted yesterday about an actual leak that was sent to Android Police. Can you tell us what Android N might hold for the notification pane?
So, based on what we have seen, the new notification shade at the top will have quick setting tiles accessible, just sort of a subset of them. So it's a lot more like what Samsung and other OEMs have been doing, so you don't have to open the full quick settings to get to the stuff you use all the time. And then the notifications themselves are styled a little bit differently. There's less of a separation between the tiles. There's a little bit more text visible. And then when you pull down the quick settings, it's again, I mean, this, the notification shade and quick settings are both full width now instead of like sort of floating from the edge of the screen. And then the quick settings, it looks pretty similar to what we have now. The icons are a little bit different. They're placed a little bit differently. And there is an edit button indicating, I guess, that the stuff from the UI tuner that they added in Marshmallow might make its way into the, you know, sort of the official system features stuff. So you'd be able to rearrange those icons in the quick settings. And there's sort of a multiple page thing. So you could put less important things over on the next page. And just the things you want, you know, quicker access to in, you know, the main page of the quick settings.
Like if you never use Bluetooth, you can just take it off the main page.
Right. Yeah. But you could still have it on like the second page. So if you need to get to it for some reason, it's easier than like going all the way into the settings.
It's like expanding the quick settings, right? On a third party UI.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, and so like, what we have on the site, those mockups are accurate, you know, for what we've seen of Android N.
Yeah,
so we don't know for sure if it's going to look like that, you know, when it's actually final.
Yeah, so that's an important note to make, that what you guys showed in your post are mock-ups of what you saw. It's not the actual screenshots, right?
Yes, we could not. We can't post the actual source content, the screenshots, because sources and stuff.
Yeah.
But the mock-ups are very accurate, you know, compared to what we actually have.
So what has the reaction to this been?
Mixed, I guess, like everything.
Yeah.
There are some people who think that it looks great, and there are other people who think it looks terrible, and eventually it's going to come out, and if it looks like this, people will just deal with it. Because, I mean, it's not a dramatic departure visually. I think people are going to be happy to have that edit button in quick settings. Because right now, if you turn on System UI Tuner and like try to mess around with the quick settings, it's pretty messy. Like you can add new tiles. There are like some third-party apps that do it, but it's kind of janky and doesn't work super well. So actually having that as an official feature will probably be much appreciated.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to be able, and I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but it looks like you're going to be able to fit more inside of a single entry right now. You get a notification and it goes, you know, to the edge and then dot, 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 and you miss out a lot depending on the notification.
Yeah, it's what we saw. It has the app that produced the notification listed in the actual notification item, whereas right now you have to long press on the notification to see which app produced it. So I guess that'll be handy if you're wondering which app sent you that annoying notification. You don't have to long press to find out now.
I'll admit that my first glance of the mock-ups, at least, I was like, ooh, that looks nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like advancement. It looks, you know, like getting refined, and that's what I would expect.
I have actually found myself like looking at the old method of the like blocks, you know, with a lot of kind of dark space in between. I mean, this is really kind of getting to the nitpick level, but starting to look at that and feeling like that feels like an older version and that it needs a retweak. So this actually fits in line with some thoughts I've been having about it lately, kind of cleaning it up. Refinement. It's not major, but
Flo, sure. are you freaking out over this?
Well, I just, I was wondering if you guys were bummed about all this news about the app drawer going away, which I realized we sort of talked about it being a mock-up, but it's been pretty big news on social media.
Some people noticed in our mock-ups, and I made sure to mention it in the article because I knew people were going to pay attention to this. There is an app drawer in our mock-ups because what we've seen still has an app drawer. We don't know if it's going to be taken out later. I will say that I personally do not believe that Google will get rid of the app drawer. I could be wrong. I'm not going to eat a shoe if I'm wrong or something. But
no, absolutely. It's been pretty big. It's been pretty big on Twitter. Just everybody talking about it, having opinions about it, because it's, I feel like, the one differentiating factor between the Android UI and the iOS UI and
The stock Android UI, maybe. I've been playing around with the next bit. Robin, for the past week, it's got
Robin has a bizarre home screen.
So does that
thing
bother you, though, Jason?
It bothers you. Oh, yeah, it totally bothers you.
But does it bother you because you're not used to it versus you can't make it work?
No,
I was thinking about it over the weekend because I had the same reaction. Like, of course we need an app drawer. We have to have it, but at the same time, do we really need to? Because it's another layer of something that you need to go in. And if you're using folders and all stuff like that, you can collapse and maybe you don't need it.
Okay. But
folders are so messy.
Yeah. See, like you can lose apps in folders. Like if I have contended for a long time that not having an app drawer is an objectively terrible experience. When every single app that you install just goes onto your home screen and like they're not in any specific order. Mm-hmm. They could be any place. It's like having an app drawer where everything is and you can organize it sometimes in different ways depending on the phone. Mm-hmm. That's just, you just know where they are. You don't have to worry about, did I put that in the productivity folder or is that in like my main home screen folder or is it someplace else? Do I have to scroll all the way to the eighth home screen? Where I have
like
120 apps on my phone.
Hang on. I'm like jumping out of my seat because I want to preface this that I am completely playing devil's advocate. So I'm not pushing my position here. I'm merely putting a dissenting point using my experience as an example. On my Nexus 5 with an app drawer, I will tell you that I'm pretty accurate that the apps that I don't put on my home screens, I never use. The ones that stay in my app drawer, I forget about.
Yeah, there are definitely people like that. I don't think you're alone.
Right. And so what happens is that actually if you can you compare your Robin to, you know, and what I would say is that a well-kept, well-maintained home screen environment where, these are all my apps where I watch things and these are all my apps where I listen to things and these are all my apps where I take pictures of things. I've only got three.
Yeah, man,
and one of them is just for the show. You know, like
so
I only use
so many folders, though. Like, yeah, that's, I most people don't do that. I mean, if that works for you, like, rad.
Right.
You know, more power to you. But I think most people don't want to have to have all that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think most people just
be
don't
together,
have all
not
that
the
on
same. But it doesn't. But I, you know, as long as
look at Flo touting the slogan. Good job.
What? It's true.
I know. I mean, I love it.
It's a good slogan. Be together, not the same. As long as I have the app, yeah, the option exactly. to have that there, because I can tell you, looking at your home screen gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like even if Google did do this really ill-advised thing, it's not the end of the world because you can install a third-party launcher. Like it's sure. you know,
yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine for those
of us that know those exist, but like for regular people, they're going to be subjected to what I think is an inferior UI design that somehow people have decided can be better because it's simpler. But I think anybody can get used to the idea of an app drawer coming from an iPhone. In a pretty short amount of time. It doesn't have to be like a big deal to get used to. I mean, I know like LG on the G5, they're taking the app drawer out of their stock home screen, and they were saying oh, it reduces cognitive load, which I guess is some nonsensical way of saying that it's easier to understand, which I just think is nonsense.
Right. I will tell you one.
The LG interface is just, anyway, has other problems than just apps, too many apps being on the screen, in my opinion.
I will say about setting up the Robin, like I did the, okay, sync over everything from this one phone into the other phone, and then it does the bloop and it brings it all over. I am still organizing the damn thing because it takes so long to go all the way over here, grab the things, move them over, combine them, blah, blah, blah. And at a certain point, I just kind of gave up. I'm like, fine.
You know what? Like, I have a Robin too that I'm reviewing, and I did the same thing. After I got it set up at first, and it started installing my apps, and they were all on the home screen. I was like, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I just installed Action Launcher, and I was like, this is done. I'll go back to the stock home screen to test it, but I'm not gonna like use
live in it
like that. It's just
thankfully you can still use the cloud backup features that come with it.
Yeah.
So
if you want to like make tweaks to like what's pinned, you have to go back to the next bit home screen. But luckily, it's like an app icon in the drawer, so like you don't have to go all the way into the settings to get back to it.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know where we stand on the app drawer, but I think it's different people want different things.
The important thing to note, though, is that according to Google, the app drawer is not going away.
Yes, exactly.
So this all might be much ado about nothing. So
it sounds like
precisely.
It is.
Yeah. Just be like cool. Be cool, everybody.
How about should we note how many times Android or Android things made an appearance at the Oscars this weekend?
A lot.
I didn't watch, but how many?
Well,
I just said a lot.
Two.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, no. What was funny is that.
You know what? That's more than one.
What's funny is that I'm a big fan of the Oscars. I love the Oscars. I love the pageant.
I was watching your tweets.
I love the pageantry. I do my whole picking. I do a ballot. I send it to my friends. Wow. We do a big pool. I keep track of who wins. It's all stuff like that. I don't have cable. I'm a cord cutter. Yeah, so I went to my friend's house to watch it. And so this was a rare time where I watched commercials, and I was overwhelmed by the number of Samsung commercials.
Overwhelmed.
It seemed like every commercial break, there was another Samsung commercial, and it was a different campaign. Right, Flo? I mean, am I crazy? Or you watched it, right?
Well, I didn't watch it. I actually just, like, vined the entire thing. Whatever people were vining, I was watching. And then my bestie was texting me that Leo had won. But I did get to see the Android commercial because it popped up in my Twitter feed. I didn't see this commercial with William H. Macy, though.
Well, yeah, so Samsung Galaxy, they had a bunch of different types of commercials during the Oscars. But the one that everyone seemed to remember and that focused on was one highlighting basically the whole kind of platform of Samsung. And it ends with a lot of celebrities. You had Wesley Snipes. You had... and each person talking about what they wanted from their phone was talking about a different thing. So Wesley Snipes wanted more storage to hold all of his movies, and this guy wanted a better camera because he's a peeping Tom, and it was basically talking about the versatility of the phones. The rapper wanted a waterproof phone so he could pour champagne on it, things like that. And it ends with William H. Macy wishing he was the spokesperson. And then he's in the spokesperson mode, and then at the end of it, you see he's wearing the VR goggles.
And he comes out of VR.
Yeah.
Samsung has always been a huge advertiser for the Oscars. I mean, they had that whole selfie bit.
Yep.
2 years ago with Ellen.
True.
So,
but what I thought was interesting was that not only did they have those the William H. Macy ad, but they had multiple. I don't know what's going on here. They had multiple different ads for different products as well. They had they had an individual Edge ad, I believe. Like it wasn't a cohesive campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was my point. But what I thought was interesting to what Flo, what you said was that not Samsung was there, but so did Android showed up.
Yeah,
and I don't know if this commercial debuted at the Oscars or was shown elsewhere. I don't think we talked about it. Mm-hmm. But the everyone in my circle of friends that was watching it all raved about the Rock, Paper, Scissors ad with St. Elmo's Fire as the music and said that it was the best commercial of the night.
Yes.
And in fact, the people I was watching the show with, the Oscars with, said, that's the best commercial. I said, oh, yeah, what was it for?
Adorable.
No, I said, what was it for? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
And then I went, oh, no. That's the worst.
Yeah. And Brian, we have I have the video there in the doc.
Yeah.
That one.
It was really, it's a great commercial. It's a great commercial. Yeah. But the thing with it is that the resonance of that as an Android commercial doesn't happen until the end of it. That's the only place where it kind of falls.
Yeah, I mean, it's about rock, paper, and scissors banding together to fight back bullies.
Yeah. Which everybody can relate to. And then it's the, what's the tagline?
Together, not the same.
Yeah, together, not the same, right. Yeah. So.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I will admit, I watched this, but without audio. Like, it came up in my feed, and I watched it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But even watching it like that, like, there's hardly any cues or anything.
No, there's nothing.
That it's Android. The Samsung ads, I thought, were actually really good.
Yeah.
They actually explained, like, what the phone was, things that you could do with it.
Hey, we're getting good marketing, guys. Finally, we're getting... We are. Is that what we're saying here?
Overwhelming. It was every commercial break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan,
we have a lot of money, guys.
Ryan, did you watch the Oscars?
I did not. I don't have cable either. no, but I was just going to say the Samsung commercial is really clever because they found a way to have all of the celebrity endorsements and not like make it feel like name dropping. It's like, because they're all sort of like in on the joke.
Mm-hmm. You mean like RDJ and HGC?
It was very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. You know, they actually talked about the phone, like you said, which is a big deal. And a lot of companies just don't do. And it's always unfortunate.
Why the phone is good, what it does. That's what Apple does. That's why their freaking commercials work. Because they're like, you can do this thing with the iPad. And then somebody on the other end is like, I don't have $800, but I want to do that thing with the iPad. I'm going to go buy one right now.
Yep.
I got handed a cocktail and I don't know what it is.
Suddenly, someone
just walked on and handed us cocktails. Like, okay. So, here, cheers.
This is what happens when I'm not there. You guys get cocktails?
Mm. We didn't even ask for it. It just happened.
Is there alcohol in them?
It's very tiki.
I think there is.
It's tiki drinking.
What?
I like it.
Dang.
Ryan gets a cocktail too.
Dang. Ryan, you had something also. I'm not sure if it was a cocktail, but you were drinking something.
All right. This show's just getting better and better.
This is what happens when I'm not around. You guys just drink. I see how it is.
Next week, we'll make sure and bring some booze. okay, so Google has been trotting out its Project Tango devices at Google I.O. for 2 years straight now. And Dieter Bohn at The Verge is saying that he believes that Tango is at the heart of Google's upcoming VR efforts. Kind of pieces it together, and he makes a pretty strong case for it. I mean, we always kind of knew that there were pieces, there were elements of Project Tango and VR, but when you put it all together, Google, you know, has a VR vision division that's hard at work on right now, reportedly working on a VR headset similar to Gear VR, better sensors, lenses, plastic casing. You have competitors like Oculus and Vive doing things like tracking your position in space, but that requires external hardware for that detection. In fact, Oculus founder Palmer Luckey said, inside out tracking, which is tracking your position in space from the device itself, without requiring external hardware, isn't popular on smartphones. That's what he said. But Project Tango actually does that. And he's right. Like, I played around with it at last year's I.O. They basically had Tango mounted on these guns, you know, these Bluetooth guns or whatever. And you were literally walking around the floor looking into the Project Tango device. It's tracking your position throughout the course of this game, and you're blasting away bad guys. Google would love for those sensors to be in the devices themselves, but that's a lot to ask for manufacturers. So Dieter was just kind of setting the stage and saying, this VR helmet that's like a device-free helmet or a headset might actually have this kind of stuff built into it. Now, none of this is like
this is all speculation.
This is all speculation, but it really kind of makes a whole lot of sense now that I think about it, and it makes me want one. I don't know when we would see that if that actually exists, but
yeah. Well, didn't we say Tango would tie into Google's VR efforts a couple weeks ago? I feel like we just said this.
Yeah, well, there we go. More
the logical evolution of the technology, a progression, yes, of the way it's being used elsewhere, and it makes perfect sense, and this is probably going to be a really exciting IO.
So
I wonder if they're going to have the Lenovo phone that's supposed to be the first consumer Tango device. That's I guess supposed
I mean
to
they
still
showed
be
software at MWC. I mean
yeah, they were still on those dev tablets, the Tegra 4 powered things. I mean, I could see like there being maybe like in the short term, an enhanced version of Cardboard. Like if you have one of the Tango phones, you could put it in a Cardboard viewer and it would do extra things that other Cardboard capable phones don't do. But I mean, if Google's doing like a VR headset, I feel like that's probably going to be like, well, I guess maybe they might, you know, announce it at IO, but I feel like that would be later on, because from what I understand, Android N is supposed to have some VR tie-ins. So launching, you know, the VR headset now would be kind of, I don't know, that just seems like they'd wait until Android N is like out.
Plus, I'd like to think Google would do something different besides just another headset. Like, I feel like Google would try to just be like, why do you have to buy some apparatus to get this? Like, it's on your phone already, silly.
Yeah,
like,
but
just, you know, yeah, that's why they came up with Cardboard.
But the
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, you've got Samsung with the Galaxy VR headset, you know, being aggressive. It's kind of keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, right? I mean, Ryan, is that, do you agree? Or
So I was going to say, I feel like the whole idea behind Cardboard was kind of like a joke that Google was making, and then it got popular, so they decided to make it like a real thing. So like the whole the idea of being able to use your phone as a VR device, like in you know, a little bit at a time, is very cool. But I think if you're going to have like a more immersive experience for more than a couple minutes at a time, you want a dedicated device, because your phone is going to get like really, really hot doing all of the VR stuff.
Yeah. And the way that the Samsung phones do.
Yeah, the battery is going to be destroyed. Like, I think probably most phones will last 45 minutes or an hour doing VR before like the battery low battery warning goes off. So having a dedicated device.
Do you want to do VR for more than an hour though?
I think that they would like you to be able to. I mean, who knows if that's going to scramble your brain. I can't use VR stuff for more than a couple minutes.
Same.
But they might. I mean, I think people intend to make like games that you can play for, you know, like you would play a console game for an hour or two at a time, but just, you know, in a VR headset.
Can our brains handle that, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like I said, I can only use VR stuff for a couple minutes at a time before I start to feel not so good. So I hope to never never find out if playing a VR game for an hour will mess up my brain, because I would probably be in a bad state if I was trying to test that.
Oh, it's on. It's happening. It's going to happen one of these days. You're going to have to do it. The Lenovo Project Tango device, by the way, if you go to the site, it says coming summer 2016, the world's first Project Tango powered smartphone. So yeah, this has IO written all over it, as far as
absolutely
a big year.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I could see going back to what you were saying, Flo, I could see them, if Android N is going to have a big VR component, and them releasing the headset at the same time that also works with Cardboard, but then will make Android N that much better. Like, and that way they're competing with Samsung, staying in the game. I see that as plausible. So, All right, cool. Well, that was a lot of news to discuss.
That was a heavy top portion.
You know why? It's because everything's starting to ramp up again. We had the dead time.
The dead time was a week?
The holidays in February, and now it's like spring is coming, the flowers are blooming, and the Android stuff is happening.
Exactly. The parade marches on. Well, we're going to pause the parade for a moment and thank one of our sponsors for supporting the show. And we want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode of All About Android. Squarespace makes it easy to create beautiful and professional websites. Whether you need a simple landing page, the perfect portfolio, a professional blog, or an online store, it's all included with your Squarespace website. Sites look professionally designed regardless of your skill level. No coding knowledge is required. You can just open up the browser and make a website. You don't need to know any arcane code or anything like that. It's amazing. Yet, if you want to get geeky, there are hundreds of customizable settings, including fonts, colors, and page configurations. Every Squarespace website can be made to look unique with just a few clicks. Mobile is already built in, and all their designs are responsive. So that means that whether you're looking at it on a phone or a laptop or a desktop or a TV, it's going to look great. It's a must-have so that all your website scales to look good on any device. You can get a free custom domain with an annual purchase at Squarespace and power your business with Squarespace Commerce, the only platform that lets you create, manage, and brand your store in a beautiful way. They have a basic plan and an advanced plan that has features for your growing business. Plus, when you need a little help, they have incredible 24/7 customer support. So are you a musician? Do you have a business? Are you getting married? If any of the answers to those questions were yes, they don't all have to be yes. If one of them was yes, then Squarespace might be the platform for you. In fact, Squarespace powers my own personal website at ronxo.com, which I don't use nearly as much as I should. But just recently, in fact, I had a friend who's building a portfolio site and said, hey, check out Squarespace. It's really easy to use. It's great for showing off photos and artwork and galleries and all those sort of things. They've got all this stuff built in. It makes it so easy to do it. So listen, get started. You can get a free trial at squarespace.com. You can go there and use the offer code aboutandroid to get 10% and show that you support this very show. And we thank you for doing that. Squarespace, you should.
You really should.
You should.
Just saying.
What are you waiting for?
Just saying. You should.
You should.
All right. We've got a couple of interesting pieces of hardware in studio in hardware.
Hardware on location. One of them I don't care about. One of them I do.
Oh. Okay.
Although I will say I'm coming around on Samsung.
Is the Samsung Galaxy S7
It's
Edge.
Very gold.
It is very gold. We were talking in the pre-show. It totally reminds me of the Willy Wonka golden ticket. It's like all shiny. Like I wish that there was like a candy bar hidden underneath here because then I'd eat it. But it doesn't need a candy bar because it's an awesome phone, or so we are told. This is Leo's phone. He actually pre-ordered through T-Mobile. And apparently people are receiving their T-Mobile pre-orders already.
Good on T-Mobile.
Which doesn't
That's great.
Yeah. make any sense. Is it even – it's not their release date. How did this happen?
T-Mobile did that last year with the Galaxy S6 as well. I don't know why. I guess Samsung must let them do it. Otherwise, they would, I imagine, be in hot water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there would
interesting
be some reaction to it or something, right? I mean, there would have to be. It's got to be sanctioned.
If they've done it 2 years in a row now, I guess. But yeah, so I mean, if you ordered like with 1 or 2 day shipping, I think you'll either have it now or like in a day or two.
Yeah,
I ordered the S7, not the S7 Edge, this morning. So I don't know if that. And they were telling me, you know, mid March or whatever. Oh yeah, it's scheduled to ship on blah blah blah. I wonder if I'm gonna get it.
You should switch to T-Mobile. Someone in the chat room has a good observation that this is a fingerprint magnet.
Oh, it totally is. Take a look. You can see it back there. It's just like,
look at that.
It just,
yeah. The white Samsung phones are, I mean, they still get fingerprinting, but it's a lot less obvious. But yeah, like the gold and the black Samsung phones, they look pretty gross after a few minutes of using them.
Oh yeah, take a look at that.
I will say on first glance at looking at it, the lack of the camera bubble on the back was appreciated. It's a much flatter profile on the back.
Way flatter.
And it sits nicely on the table when you put it down on his back. And
Samsung actually made their phones thicker this year. By slightly over a millimeter, which is amazing.
Yeah, which actually, I mean, it doesn't feel that way. You know what
I
mean?
It still feels really. You would never notice that. But every year they want to be like, look, it's the thinnest phone ever. Also, the battery is smaller. But this time it's like, hey, it's thicker and there's more battery.
Yeah. No, this is a pretty solid device, I got to say. Very nice, nice sharp screen, kind of seeing it in person, everything.
It looks great.
It looks great. I'm not too fan of the gold.
Yeah.
The one I got is the black one. Mm-hmm. I mean, with T-Mobile, I am with T-Mobile. And basically you had the option of gold or black, and they only have the 32 gig version.
Right.
I will say the black phone, the black Edge phones in particular, look kind of neat because the screen blends in a lot better with the bezel.
Okay.
So it makes it look like a giant touch panel, even though there's like bezel around it.
Okay. What I don't understand about the Edge thing is that, okay, so I've got the phone, right? And the Edge, we've got the curve. Mm-hmm. And it might be hard to see, but you see a little bulge of color here. And so I can wipe that out and
swipe
I get the Edge comes across, and instead of giving me the whole screen, it's just it blurs out 2/3 of the screen and gives me content on 1/3 of it, which I just like. Okay.
Almost as if to like justify the fact that you want edge content in some way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's it's a little.
It's weird.
A little weird.
It's weird.
I don't know. I feel like the jury's still out as far as like if the edge itself actually brings any additional functionality, but it certainly does look cool. I think really ultimately what it is it's just kind of a curved edgy, you know, curved edge on the side. Yeah. Looks neat. And hey, it can do a couple of these neat things when you swipe in, but that, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I just don't know the difference between this and going on my phone and swiping in from the side. Like, they're basically the same function.
Yeah, basically.
You know what I mean? That edge doesn't really actually provide any extra usability in that regard.
Yep. So.
But there you go.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's waterproof.
And I got to give it back to Leo. Mm. So you can use it.
Well, you're getting. I'm curious to see the other one.
Yeah,
the regular one,
the non-edgy one.
So, but let's see the one I've been waiting to hear about.
Okay, all right.
This is the one I'm excited about.
So here we go.
I'm excited to see you wield this one. I feel like it matches you too, Ron. Like aesthetically.
Oh, the next bit, Robin.
Yeah, especially this mint one. I can understand why you want this one.
I do want the So for those who are playing at home, know that for the past what has it been, half a year? I've been agonizing. Mm-hmm. I've been agonizing over replacing my little Nexus 5. I have committed to the Nexbit Robin. I'm just waiting for it to ship. But the one I'm getting is Midnight Blue. And I was kind of torn on the mint versus Midnight Blue.
I got the mint because it was very different.
Yeah,
and I feel like if this was my daily driver, I probably wouldn't live with the mint.
Really?
So if you're getting the Midnight Blue, I might do a swaparoo with you.
Yeah, I felt like the Midnight Blue was a little more adult.
Yeah, I don't know, like over time as I've been using it, I kind of feel, you know, because I have kids and they have toys that look a lot like this.
And, let's be honest, I'm a child. So,
there we go.
Anyway, so tell us about it.
Well, I mean, you know, I've only been playing around with it for about a week now. I don't know if there's going to be a formal review that I'll be doing for one of the shows here, but I really wanted to just kind of get a sense of it. And you can see some of the apps are kind of grayed out and everything. I had to really go for it in order to get apps to start graying out. I, you know, went into music and downloaded a bunch of playlists and went into Dropbox and downloaded a bunch of folders and everything just to get it so that it would start kind of offloading.
And it's funny that you said that because today on my Nexus 5, I had like 16 apps need to be updated and half of them didn't get updated because I had no more storage space.
Oh, see, so this might actually be perfect for you. My take on the whole storage thing is just like it's neat that it does it, and I appreciate that it does it because it's different from other apps that or from other devices that are out there. I just don't know how much of a problem it's solving for a large number of people. You know, I don't know if the whole like I'm running out of storage space is a huge issue that something on, you know, a device that has a micro SD card slot doesn't solve.
To a certain degree. Nexbit is actually trying something a little different, which I appreciate.
That's what I mean.
Doesn't feel like there's been a whole lot of innovating in the smartphone scene, at least in the last year. So it's kind of nice to see a company try something different, try a different approach.
For sure.
And try to fix something that is actually, I mean, it is an issue. People run out of space. I feel like this is something someone like my mom would run into a little more than me.
Right. And would your mom go buy a micro SD card?
Only if I told her to.
No, you're not telling her. You're living over.
Right. Would she know?
Would she know to go do that?
Oh, but if your storage problem is because you have too many apps on most phones, getting a micro SD card isn't going to help.
Right.
That's true. Like bloatware and stuff like that. Yep. And so you can't use that. You can't really use that storage. And somebody like my mom is not going to be able to go through the settings and figure that out. You know, how to move apps to the SD card to help offload some of that.
Yeah.
Back to our earlier conversation, I could use the app drawer right about now because I'm trying to find the settings.
it strikes me as very odd that they made this phone with 32 gigs of storage. I feel like if they'd made it like $20 cheaper and only put 16 gigs in, that would be more in keeping with the whole goal of this phone.
That's true.
Yeah.
But 16 gigs is so little. Like, you can't
Point of this phone, though, is that it doesn't matter if you run out of local storage. Like, that's what they're telling us. And 32 gigs is
right,
like, I mean,
your
a lot.
Right, because your photos are still getting backed up, so you don't have to worry about running out of space with all the the pictures you're taking, although it doesn't back up music. So
videos, I don't think it does. Yeah. I think it only does still photos.
Because honestly, that's the thing. I mean, even in this situation, I mean, Jason's got 24 gig total space available on the phone. And
no, 24 gigs of 20, space available
to
play.
And available, yeah. You've only got 2 gig left. Mm-hmm. I could fill that 2 gig with music right now.
Yep, from Spotify, though. That's the thing, is if I had offloaded my playlist from Spotify, it's not going to back that stuff. I mean, I think it'll back up Spotify, but I couldn't test it to, like, when I was reviewing it, I couldn't force it to download Spotify and see if it would bring back all my music with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty
sure, because I use that app so much, it wouldn't go away.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it backs up all the data. But what you want to do is you want to put some music up on the cloud and some music locally, and that's not what it does. It's just,
I don't know that I would want an app that has, like, 3 or 4 gigabytes of data to uninstall itself and then reinstall itself, like, the next time I need
it's
it.
A lot of transfer.
Especially if you toggle that option that lets it do that over mobile data.
But it's not going to happen, though, because Spotify is an app I use every day, and the idea is that the apps you use every day, and plus I'd pin it. And, but yeah, I just no, think you, about yeah, if
you
I...
You would know to do that.
And also quick distinction is that it's not uninstalling and reinstalling. It's moving the image,
offloading and
reloading. There's still data transfer, but the app just appears and works. It doesn't need to reinstall or do anything like that. It's just moving the image of where it lives. Which I don't know. I haven't seen it do that in action, so I don't know what that process looks like. What I want to see is I want to see the moment where I want to use an app and it's grayed out. I'm like, I want it now.
Well, okay, I can do that.
Let's see. Still, I mean, all of that data still has to show up. I mean, I imagine
That's not bad. That was fast.
It's a small app.
And you're on Wi-Fi,
actually,
too.
Wait, can you actually launch it?
That's not a small app, actually. I just uninstalled that app because that app was a hog as far as storage.
Just Watch. Yeah. So this was Just Watch that I just restored. There we go. Now I can tap it and it'll launch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's better than I thought it would be, frankly.
Yeah.
It's a cute phone too. I am so into the design of this little phone.
Yeah, that's the biggest attraction to me. Like, I don't want it. I don't want it for the cloud storage. I want it for the industrial design. Like, I want it because it doesn't look like any other phone out there.
And that side fingerprint, by the way, you know, I was kind of. I'm still bummed. Nobody's really implementing the fingerprint scanner that Huawei did with the Nexus 6P, which is you just touch it and it turns it on. But it's nice where it's placed on the phone on the Robin, because you can just tap it and then leave your thumb there and it'll press it and leave your thumb. Yeah. See,
did you feel like it was accurate enough? Like I had some issues getting it to consistently recognize my fingerprints.
I would absolutely agree with that.
And it's because it's a small sliver.
Yeah.
You know, and I had the same issue on the GS6 with their home screen fingerprint scanner. Thus far, the Huawei Nexus 6P has been the best implementation of a fingerprint scanner I've used.
Yeah,
one touch and it turns on.
Yeah, the 5X is the same deal. The Nexus imprint thing in the back.
Right. Sorry, I haven't spent very much time with the 5X. Ooh, I don't mean to be a snob.
Like, the side fingerprint reader, I like in some ways. Like, this is a very natural way to hold your phone, so it's kind of like
left-handed.
Nice. So if you're right-handed, for sure. Yeah. If you're left-handed, you know, that's, you know, but then you
Although
go
that
like that.
The button is super recessed.
Yeah, that's my main complaint is that it's so difficult to find. Like, there is no real easy visual cue.
And,
you know what's
incredibly annoying is right below the button is the SIM card slot, and they feel almost identical. Mm-hmm. Which is
That's a great observation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's sort of my job.
it's what I do here.
Just give you kudos, Ryan, from one TV screen to the other.
Ryan's doing well. So, I like it. I don't know. I just like everything about it. I'm excited. I'm excited to get my hands on it.
I am by no means saying that, this is not a phone that I would recommend. I actually really have enjoyed using it. Some of the features, I just don't know if they're necessarily features that are super useful to me.
Right.
But no doubt. People will have, you know, there's an audience for that.
Here's the most important.
I was just going to say, like, and I think we should probably point out, like, this is a crowdfunded phone that actually exists.
Yes.
Like, that by itself is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. I love it. I love seeing the innovation.
It's quality.
And hardware. And it's quality. So, Jason, let me ask you, you know, we've been doing this a long time, right?
Yeah, we've been here a while. Yeah, we were
friends before that. You know, I feel like you know me. And based off what I,
where's this going?
Based off my use of phones, do you think I'm going to like that phone?
I actually do. I think that you'll like it. I wonder what you're going to do as far as launcher is concerned.
I was thinking about that over the weekend, actually.
Only because, like, man, I can't get down with this launcher.
Well, I'm surprised that you did a week. I thought you would have gone to the Google launcher.
Because when I get a new phone and it has its own launcher, I really feel like in order for me to judge, I have to judge the whole package. So I'd leave it installed at least for a little bit to kind of get used to it. And I really hoped that over time I would get used to it.
Right.
And I just realized, like, I'm just not – I need my AppDrawer. Yeah. I need it.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I can't wait to get my hands on it, so – I'm anxiously awaiting.
I think you'll like it.
I'm curious to see how you set it up. Like, if you choose Action Launcher or Nova Launcher, if you're Google Launcher, or you're just like, I'm throwing it all to the wind.
I mean,
I put all the apps.
I was thinking about it over the weekend, and I spent a good couple hours just sitting on the couch thinking about it. And and I think that probably I would stick with the Google Launcher because I like Google Now. Mm-hmm. Although, for some reason, I'm having wildly erratic behavior with Google Now. I don't know if anyone else is noticing this, but like I went from like months ago. Remember how I said I never get any content in Google Now, and then it changed, and I just got a ton of content. And it was all really relevant, and it was spot
on. Didn't get anything here. Yeah. Check it out. I've got a bunch of stuff for you.
And now I'm back to getting. I get weather, and that's it. I get nothing.
It's like a puppy.
Yeah, it's very strange.
The puppy is now trying really hard to make you happy. Yeah. So it's giving you all these cards, and you're just like, wrong things, puppy.
Are you feeding Google Now? Enough.
I am.
Yeah,
I mean, it's,
yeah, you're taking it for enough walks.
It's tied to my Google account. I don't know.
All right.
So, okay, cool. Well, that said, let's hear from you, from our audience. We got an email related to hardware. In fact, Mark writes in and says, in episode 253, you guys discussed the new LG phone called the Stylus 2, and Ron viciously criticized the name as being an incredibly stupid name for a phone. Because the phone has a stylus, and so they call it the stylus, which I found odd. I thought the product was the stylus, but no, the product was the phone that has a stylus. So Mark goes on to say, while I completely agree with Ron that the name of the phone is a poor choice, the ironic part of his criticism was that he said it's like making a car and calling it Seat. And there actually is a car named Seat. It's a Spanish automobile manufacturer that the wholly owned subsidiary of German Volkswagen Group. And I scrolled down. Just thought it was funny that the comparison didn't work this time. Look forward to the show every week. Got the Nexus 5X and the reviews you guys gave based on the reviews you guys gave and loving it. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for agreeing with me that the Stylus is a ridiculously named phone. I was talking about it when I was in New York. I was talking to someone who's I consider a branding and marketing expert, and agreement was shared on the Stylus being a ridiculous name for a phone just because it has a stylus. So I feel vindicated.
So, Brian, I'm putting in a little picture here on underneath the email. This is the Seat 600. This was 1965, sold in Colombia.
Wow.
Below that link is a direct link to an image.
Also, became
the best-selling car in Finland from 1970 to 1973.
That's great.
There you go. So it exists. There it is.
I believe Marlon Thompson posted this also on Google Plus after the show. It's very Fiat-y, I feel like. Oh, mm-hmm. I like that guy. Oh, that was Seat's first ever president.
Because licensee. Yeah. Fiat.
Oh, yeah, Fiat.
So there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
That explains it.
Yep.
All right. Didn't work this time, Ron.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's what you get.
All right. Let's thank a sponsor.
Let's thank LegalZoom. I can personally thank LegalZoom because I've been a LegalZoom customer for longer than I've worked at Twit, actually. And, you know, you should check it out for yourself. To run a successful business, you need to make the most of your time and money. Good news, LegalZoom can help you do that. Can help you save both during National Small Business Month. LegalZoom is the smart way to start your business. Right now, when you incorporate or if you form an LLC, you can also save money on some of the basics to get up and running. Make it easy on you. After your business is set up, LegalZoom can help with a lot more. They cover so many bases here. Reviewing contracts, dealing with day-to-day legal hurdles, all that stuff takes time away from growing your business. And that's what LegalZoom's business legal plan is for. You get legal advice for your business from independent attorneys licensed in 48 states. You also get access to NDAs, lease agreements, and more. Just a ton of access there. The best part is you won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Instead, you pay a low monthly fee. That's it. Save time and money starting and running your business during National Small Business Month at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. And that code again is AAA at LegalZoom.com. And we thank LegalZoom for their support. We've got kind of a
quick note. Someone on Twitter corrected me just now that the car brand Seat is actually pronounced Seat.
Fiat.
So well, the more you know.
See, there you go. This onion keeps getting peeled.
Exactly.
Layer by layer.
Love it.
It just gets deeper. Sorry. Let's check out some apps. All right. Are you ready for this one?
I'll do my best.
This report might hurt a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I know it'll.
It'll be interesting why it's going to hurt.
It'll offend some people, maybe. I just know that I'm going to get an email about this. A report by InMobi on mobile app developers reveals, based on its own data, of course, that Windows Phone developers make more than twice the money grossed by Android developers, as well as 50% more than iOS developers. The reason, InMobi claims, is because Windows Phone currently has, well, you could guess, a niche audience. And as such, is not as noisy or as fragmented as either of the other app stores.
No one's using it.
Basically, discoverability is way better on Windows Phone.
Because there's like five apps.
The way they worded this is just seems very misleading to me. Like trying to throw the word fragmentation out there like that has anything to do with it. It's just like there are like five Windows Phone apps that people want, and I'm sure those developers do very well. And if you average out the amount of money that Windows Phone developers make, it's probably pretty good because, there aren't that many choices. On Android, you have to be seen. You have to make something that is noticeably better than what you can get for free because there's a ton of free stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a first-party Android app. There are a lot of companies that just don't have Windows Phone apps. So there might be a third-party app that costs a buck and people will buy it because they don't have the free one.
Yeah.
So true. Ryan, laying it down for y'all.
Boom goes the Ryan-o-mite.
Nice. Well done.
Thanks.
You would have thought Brian would have had an explosion when you said that, but Brian's off his game today.
I took a second to realize you were trying to do dynamite.
Dynamite.
There we go. But I feel like, this goes without saying that, like, okay, let the Windows app ecosystem grow to the size of Android or iOS, and then see how you do.
You'll be waiting a long time for that to happen.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So maybe if you're a developer and you're just focused on the dollars, you go to Windows and make some money.
Yeah, but how long is that even going to be feasible? Or right. Windows Phone's market share actually went down in the last few months as Windows 10 phones are coming out. This is supposed to be a big deal, and there are even fewer people using them.
And considering that, and we're going to talk about this in the arena, but considering that Microsoft just keeps churning out more and more Android apps.
I know, right?
So
it's true. Right, it's true.
Interesting stuff. So in the land of Facebook, Live is maybe coming sooner than you think. Facebook is rolling out its live video streaming to U.S. users with more countries to follow. All you're going to need to do is tap on What's on Your Mind and select the live video icon to broadcast. The final video will be saved to your timeline when it's finished for all to see. And this comes off with some news, at least Recode was reporting, that Mark Zuckerberg is obsessed with live streaming, making it a top priority at Facebook, which, honestly makes sense. And the moment this rolls out wide and everybody figures it out, like that, you talk about scale, the scale of the Facebook universe, you're going to have people live streaming all the time, much more than I think.
You guys saw his speech at the Samsung event last week, right?
Yes.
He is one convincing mofo. I gotta tell you, he's had a lot of media training since I first started covering.
He used to be so awkward.
Gotten to like demigod status in a sense. Yeah. And just to hear his vision for Facebook, like I can just imagine this has something, like this is definitely going to be integrated into this this acquisition of Oculus. Like, he just wants everybody to
live presence. Live presence. That's really what it's all about.
Let's talk about live presence. That's really interesting, though, because I agree with you. I know that he's committed to this idea. He wants Facebook to be virtual reality, stuff like that. But I was not impressed by him at the Samsung event at all.
It was very different in person.
Because
we took off those VR headsets and freaking Mark Zuckerberg is there. And all these photographers are rushing to the stage to take pictures of him.
Yeah.
There were people just like crawling on the floor to take pictures of him from an angle. And it was the environment. It was the whole, I was eating it up.
You got caught up in the moment.
It was a very good setup.
It was a very good setup, but this is interesting. I think that I would use this more than YouTube because I have more Facebook friends than I do YouTube friends.
Right. Well, that's my point about live streaming though, is that right now it is a niche product. It is, you're either using Periscope or you're using Meerkat or you're using YouTube or you're using Twitch. You know, like there are all these kind of niche products that have big followings within their type thing, but there is no catch-all platform that your mom could use, that my mom could use, and then Facebook is that platform.
Yeah, she's gonna be, look, honey, we're live streaming Christmas dinner. We're sorry you couldn't be here, that kind of thing, and then it's saved.
Yeah. And then it's right in your timeline. Yeah, you know the Achilles heel of this, in my opinion, is that you have to have the app installed. I don't use the app anymore. I use the mobile website.
Oh, I see. It's interesting in terms of a rollout because it was funny because I was just talking with friends about Twitter back when I was in New York. I was having lunch with a friend of mine who works in digital media and that sort of thing. And we're talking about Twitter and I was saying how Twitter is now like a bad word in San Francisco, at least because of all the negative, you know, news coming out of it and all the stuff and, you know, layoffs and the problems with the product. If Twitter had just rolled out Periscope as just live streaming video from Twitter. They could do what Facebook is about to do, but they siphoned
true.
It.
No,
they siphoned
you know what? That's a really good point.
Because they didn't have confidence that people wanted to do this, and now because Periscope and Meerkat and Twitch and all this stuff have proven that there's an audience for it, Facebook is going to roll it out. And everybody's going to do it, and it's going to be crazy. So
this is going to be really big for Facebook.
Yep, I agree.
It'll be really big. Shall we move on to another reader email?
Let's do it.
Shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
All righty. This one is from Jim in Fort Worth, Texas, which I always have problems pronouncing. Just a quick note about Gmailify. I've had a Hotmail account since the Vikings were invading Europe, and it's just sort of become my spam folder writ large. Me too, Jim. Just to see what it would do, I plugged the account into my Gmail, and over the next 2 days, the spam filter actually did its job. Not sure how they got it done, but well done. To add a further complication, I use Inbox for Gmail. Like I said, it took a day or two for things to fully integrate, but now I'll get a monthly bill from the Hotmail account and I can snooze it, quote unquote, until the week before it's due in Inbox. So take a shot at Gmailify and try out the feature of Inbox as well. It makes things really easy.
Nice.
Cool.
So it works. You don't get overrun with Google Now articles about the spam that's in your inbox.
Yeah.
Not that I really believe that would happen, but I mean seriously, if I connected this to my Yahoo Mail account, like that's the only signal it's getting.
Right,
is
that
spam.
Your spam account?
It could be completely. Really interesting to see how it handles that, how it parses that. I mean, that could be an interesting experiment.
Sure.
I get a lot of spam to my Pop3 account. A lot.
Believe it or not.
It's been around for
20 years, but you know.
This weekend, after I was thinking about which launcher I was going to use, I spent a couple hours thinking about my email. I gave it some good thought.
You just laid on the couch and kept thinking?
I'm just thinking. About 3 or 4 hours, just dedicated thinking.
Dang.
You meditated.
And I think I'm going to find a weekend to move the Pop3 to my Gmail account and I'm just going to forward the whole dang account and see how Gmail handles it.
You should make it a party. Just like get some catering from your favorite restaurant or takeout or whatever. Get a bunch of beers, put them in the bathtub and just be like, come over. I need some friends to be with me.
I need some friends, please. Well, that's a whole other problem. No, I actually might invite some of my friends on a Big Sur, and we'll do it over a weekend. It'll be a blast.
I was thinking you could just live stream it to Facebook.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
you know, so, then everybody can get on board.
Right, now I'm hungry.
Okay, well, then I'm going to feed you
okay,
this last sponsor. I'm not actually going to feed you, Rob. That would be kind
of weird.
But this episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. You need to know how to cook. I'm telling you, I know you, and you aren't cooking nearly enough, and you need to know how, okay? Build up your confidence. That's what Blue Apron is all about. Not only will you feel like you know your way around the kitchen, but cooking at home means eating healthier, saving money. Instead of ordering expensive takeout, again, this is me opening a box of Blue Apron at my house. Blue Apron has you covered here. As you can see, all sorts of fresh ingredients sent to your doorstep. You're given a sheet, a couple of sheets with all of the recipes on the bill this week. And basically, they give you all the ingredients that you need to make those recipes. It's a perfect. It's like a kit. You receive a kit for a meal, and then you take the time. It doesn't take more than like 30 to 40 minutes to make these meals. It does not take very much time at all. And it's portioned out, you know, so it feeds four people, let's say, depending on which, you know, meal plan you're on. They have a family meal plan, or they have meals for two and all that kind of stuff. And you just kind of, you follow the directions. And I'm telling you, when you're done, and I'm not used to this when I follow recipes, but when you're done, the food actually looks like it does in the picture.
It does. And it's delicious.
So there's that. Yeah, no, and it's fantastic stuff. And they, you know, they take care of you, right? Dietary preferences are noted at Blue Apron. Makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like seared salmon and spinach walnut pesto with purple potato and red onion hash. This is the part where I realize I need to eat something. Roasted broccoli and frugola sarda salad with soft-boiled eggs and tahini dressing. You can do this all right in your own kitchen. You don't even know what half those ingredients are, but you could cook them, dang it. Cook with ingredients that you've never used before. Watermelon radishes, farro, purple potatoes. Purple potatoes are so good. Recipes between 500 to 700 calories per portion. And it's delicious and it's good for you. You can't beat that. Right now, you can get your first two meals free. Just go to blueapron.com/twit. Check out this week's menu. And you can kind of see what's on the menu on both of the plans, be it the for two or the for the family. They're different. They don't repeat the recipes. And then if you like a recipe, you've got the card. You make it again. We've done that so many times with the cards that we've gotten from Blue Apron. Check it out. Two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/twit. And we thank Blue Apron for their support of All About Android. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do the arena now.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right. Checking in on last week's poll. It was bit.ly/AAA254.
This is my casual victorious pose.
I haven't even checked.
Oh, brother.
Dang it. I was so close.
It was very close, by the way. So what happened last week was that we had three fun apps. Mateo, our guest, brought in the RBS Six Nations Championship app for rugby fans. Jason brought in Alto's Adventure, which is an awesome game. And I had the Secret Flicks codes for Netflix. And when the show ended last Tuesday, I had a ridiculous lead. And then slowly throughout the week, Jason with Alto's Adventure climbed back up. On Sunday, we were tied. But then since then, it increased, and I ended up winning with 47%. So 47% of the vote goes to Secret Flicks codes for Netflix. Jason gets 44%, and Mateo got 10%. So that's yet another win for me.
Whatever.
In the arena.
Whatever.
That's yet another win for me.
It's time for you to go home. Nice golf clap. Okay.
You got to be right. Secret. I mean, but honestly, Secret Flicks is a very cool app.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Alto's Adventure.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game. Yeah. I downloaded it. I was having fun with it, so good job.
I'm not sure how far I'm going to get with this app today, but
that's a great lead-in.
I know. We know what we're getting when we start an app review. Since I'm the returning loser, I had to go first. And mine is for, do you like beer? Do you like beer? Do you like craft beer? Are you like a craft beer snob? Huh? Are you? Come a little closer.
This is very Petaluma of you, by the way.
Come a little closer. I want to tell you about a little app that I found that's only for people who appreciate craft beer. They don't like being teased. They don't like being tricked into thinking that it's a craft beer, but it's not actually a craft beer. No. They want to know that their beer is actually craft beer, and that's why an app exists called Craft Check. Yes.
That's amazing.
Its sole purpose is to tell you if that beer is a craft beer or not, or if it's an imposter.
Oh,
if
wow.
I had a craft beer here,
there,
I'd
wait, hang on a second. They're craft beer imposters? Here, wait, yes. Scan my Snapple.
Well, that's not going to work, but well, okay.
It will tell you it's not a craft beer.
It will tell us. It'll say, confusing. We're really sorry that doesn't match anything in our database. That would be true. That would be true.
Wait, what are these fake craft beers? Is that like Blue Moon?
I'll show you. I'll show you. So what Nick, actually that's the perfect example. Okay, Blue Moon. No, you know what? First we'll show you a craft beer. Blue Blood Brewing Company. Congratulations. What you're looking at is a genuine craft beer from Blue Blood Brewing Company.
Is it a Golden Goose?
Yes, exactly. Now
Blue Moon.
Moon may look to you like a craft beer, but no. Don't be fooled. It might not actually be one. Careful.
Oh.
Beware. What you've got there is an imitation craft brew owned by Miller Coors. What have you done? What have you
this
done?
This is super snobby. This
I know,
is
like, it totally
all right,
is.
So thank you for Brian, who went to pick up a bottle of Singha, which is an import.
I'm not sure the Singha qualifies but as a craft beer.
It is not a craft beer.
But we'll see if it gets it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is
yeah.
it a craft beer or is it not? We'll move it onto the symbol. And confusing.
Oh.
Even Singha is not in here. It's so not craft beer that it's not even in the
it's
database.
The only beer I can here you find. Go. Here, I've got some other ones you could check here. Because according to Men's Journal, there's a list of fake craft beers.
Okay, so I have a feeling they're going to come up as not craft beers.
Yeah, so let's find out.
Oh, man, takeover ads
so here,
suck.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. Okay, you ready?
Okay, yes, I'm ready.
Ballast Point Brewing, which...
Ballast?
Yep.
B-A-L-L-A-S-T Point Brewing. Careful.
Not.
Oh, man.
Well, here's
owned
one.
By Constellation Brands, Inc. Who are they?
Just got bought.
Here's one that I know a lot of people like.
Crafty, but not craft.
Magic Hat.
Magic Hat.
That's a craft beer, right?
Oh, it must be.
Yeah.
I've always considered Magic. Careful.
Well, now let's go with something a little local. Let's do Lagunitas.
This is so coming up as not craft because now it's 50. It's what is it? 49% owned by Heineken now.
Yep.
So it used to be crafty. I bet it says something about that. It'll say careful, owned. Well, it says it's owned by the Heineken group. It's not totally owned.
Heineken,
by them.
They sold the Heineken recently,
but not the whole thing.
No, but enough portion to make you be careful now.
It says crafty, but not craft. Okay. So there you go.
Look up Russian River.
Or Lost Coast.
Do Russian. So Russian River is the maker of the much chased Pliny.
And that would be true. That would be true. That's some great craft beer. So there you go. Even you can get in on the fun with.
This makes you.
So that's what we're doing next Tuesday when I come back to the studio, right?
Sure.
I'm always down.
So this app helps you be a beer snob.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, cool. There you go.
That's exactly what it is. It's a beer snob tool.
Not only helps you, it encourages you to be a snob about your beer.
It helps you to be that guy when you're hanging out with your friends.
That guy.
What is that beer? Here, come on. Bring it over here. I've got an app. I want to see who owns it.
I could tell you if it's a craft beer. This is like the whole major label indie argument. Like, oh, yeah, they're not a major. They suck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It made me laugh. So there you go.
That's fine.
Craft check. It exists. It's an app that exists.
All right.
That's my pick.
Florence
so,
up next?
Yeah, because you would be last, right?
I am last. Yeah.
So Florence, why don't you do it? Go for it.
Hound is my app, and actually it's a beta app.
Not anymore. I think didn't it come out of beta? Like,
well, I guess it was in beta. Okay, so actually that's good you say that because I just refreshed the Play Store page and it doesn't say beta anymore.
Yeah,
so
they
said beta like earlier today.
I thought you picked it specifically because I think today it came out of beta.
Yeah, that
is why I picked it. It's by SoundHound. And so right now what you're going to do is since you just fired up the app, they're going to put you through the test mode so you can figure out how it works. So you're going to do this a couple times.
What's the temperature?
Yeah. So basically it's an alternative to Google Now. I'm not usually on board with these things because Google Now sort of always satiated me, but I remember when Cortana came to Android, so came the question of whether or not you can use some other voice assistant. And honestly, I kind of like Hound. I haven't tried to see how it integrates into the OS, but I was using it today just for funsies, and I already like that I can control like which apps it posts to. So like I wanted to post a reminder to myself, and it asked me which calendar I wanted to prioritize, which I like because I have, you know, both my Exchange calendar and my personal calendar. It's just another personal assistant.
I'm trying.
Mostly, I like.
I'm trying to like get through the walkthrough without interrupting you.
I know, that's why I'm like, maybe I should wait. But mostly, I like how much you can customize what it does, and it's very easy because you can customize as you're asking questions, because it'll say, "Hey, by the way, you haven't like figured this out yet. So, what do you want to do?"
Let's see here. It says that I should say this: play top songs by Taylor Swift.
Okay, don't play Taylor Swift. Just stop that and ask it. And instead, that's bad. And instead, ask it to play your favorite songs from a band you like.
Play what? What was that?
So ask it, play my favorite songs from whatever band you like.
Okay. Play my favorite songs from Wilco. Let's see what it says here. Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah. This is a good thing.
Wait, that's what it did?
Yeah.
Okay. When I do play me my favorite songs from Tesla Boy.
And these are songs that your system already recognizes?
So now it just into my Google Play.
Show like Flow, Brian.
What I play the most of, and it's playing like the top song, which is a song called In Your Eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like synced up with your Google Play then.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. And that's just from like, that was just from playing with it for a couple minutes, like to see what it can do. There's so much more. Like you can book a ride with Uber through this thing, which, sorry, maybe don't support Uber. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's kind of cool. It looks like through the apps that you have installed, there's like a Yelp option. So I'm really curious to see how this works. So I'm going to try it right now on the air.
Do it.
Yelp a delicious Chinese restaurant near me.
Showing search results for Yelp a delicious Chinese restaurant near me.
Okay, that didn't really work.
That didn't work. I do know that Hound is actually really good at like parsing long entries. So like you can get kind of detailed, like, let's see here. So this is show me. Let's see. Show me hotels in Seattle for this weekend that cost less than $300, but more than $100. I couldn't think of what to say there, as if that wasn't painfully obvious. Oh, see, no, it's not really doing it. Maybe because I added that extra stuff.
Okay, well, see, I asked it wrong then. Chinese restaurants in SF within walking distance of my location.
Do you have to talk that slowly?
Anyway, want to go get some Chinese food?
And then what you can also do with that is you can end up, like, if you do hotel room results, for example, then you could fire off another search and say, show me some that are like non-smoking, or you can add like a qualifier to it and it will trim it down and everything. Yeah.
And the nice thing about this already gives me like a link for Yelp, so I can just tap on it. I'm doing this all with you guys on air. Sorry about that. So I'm tapping it. It's loading right now, and it just loaded the Yelp page for the place that is suggested.
Nice.
I think that's kind of neat. Sometimes Google Now doesn't do exactly what I want it to do. We were kind of talking earlier with Ron about how you use Google Now and how you like weren't getting, or you were getting too many cards or whatever. I got to be honest, Google Now has been a little inaccurate lately. It's been suggesting that I eat places that I'm not really interested in. It keeps asking me to like rate stuff, and I'm just not interested in that. It's nice to kind of have something new. I'm going to test drive it, though, for a little longer than a couple days to see how it works. So I'm curious to try a new voice assistant. Hopefully I'll get an article out of it.
Yeah. Cool. That is Hound freshly out of beta today.
And also, I just want to add, I feel kind of weird about using things in beta, which I know is like the, it's the nice thing about being an Android user. We can use things in beta if we want. We just like, just put the APK on our phones or whatevs. But it's nice to use something that's stable and not like.
Agreed. I would agree with that. Cool. So that is Hound Video Search and Assistant. Find it in the Play Store for free. Ryan, I have your app installed, so I'll go ahead and show that off while you talk a little bit about it.
Okay, so it is called Flipperlink, which, granted, is a very bizarre name. But the app is pretty cool. So it's basically, it's a floating browser app. It does the sort of the little chat head sort of of links, kind of like, you know, a couple other apps do this. But the cool thing about this one is that, so you've got the choice. You can either have it use web view, or you can have it do Chrome custom tabs.
I'll find a link to click on.
So if you do that, you can actually, you get all of your like form bills and your passwords and the rendering engine from Chrome. That's cool. And if you do the web views version, then you can actually have it. I can just stop talking while you try to find a link in Twitter.
There we go.
Okay. So yeah. So and if you do the web views, you can have it do pop-up mode where you can actually resize the window, and you can lock individual windows on the screen. So you can have them sort of like, you know, you can do something else and have the browser window stay open. And then, you know, I actually have been using it a lot on tablets because there's, you know, the screen real estate to take advantage of that. It's a little weird on a phone to like have like a browser window like constantly open while you do other things. But on a tablet, it's actually really nice because Android still doesn't have multi-window support. So you can kind of fake it with this. And it has a couple of more like real browser kind of features. Like you can force the desktop version of a page. You can input, there's an option saying, so actually input URLs like in the info bar at the top. You can actually go to different websites. And a lot of these sort of like floating browsers are just for viewing links that you find elsewhere. But in this one, you can actually, you know, you can go to other sites. It's just sort of a neat little browser. I've been using it to sort of like stack up links that I want to look at later. And then, you know, I can like do other things than when I want to look at them. I just like open them. And then there's like a neat physics engine when you drag the little bubbles around and then drop them onto the icon at the bottom to close them. It's very smooth, and it's just kind of fun to play with them, just drag them around the screen. You should check that out. It is free, and I think there's an in-app purchase for pro features that's like $1 or $2. You should definitely try the free one at least and see if it makes your browsing better.
Love these this type of app. It just really makes kind of clicking links and pushing them off to the side. I like like pushing things to later, so it's nice to be able to do that with links sometimes. I don't know, should I not admit that?
Just don't do anything with them then.
No, I want to get to them eventually. Sure. Just maybe not right now. Do you? I do. Okay. That's why my notification pane is always so full.
Notification pane gives me stress. Talking about Flo getting stressed from my home screen, your notification pane keeps me up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. If the phone was an amalgamation of the both of yous, I'd probably just be like,
we're a tough combo. All right, cool.
So that's Flipperlink.
Flipperlink is that is a good pick, Ryan. In fact, that was on my list of potential apps to choose that I. Yeah. So I'm jealous that you picked it.
Well, beat you to it.
Yeah. Anyway, but what I did pick this week for my pick, I got all excited because Microsoft Garage rolled out a whole bunch of new apps these past couple of weeks. For those who don't know, Microsoft Garage is the incubator within Microsoft that is making apps. It seems like for the fun of it. They're
a garage band.
They're very, very wildly in terms of type of apps. You can't predict it. You never know what you're going to get. And this week, I was excited to see that they put out a keyboard. It's called Hub Keyboard, and it's currently technically in beta. And it is free to download and check out. You might remember a couple of weeks ago or months ago, I forget when, I did that Ginger keyboard, which was basically a keyboard. I love the idea of putting access to data and access to other apps within your keyboard to minimize the steps you need to take to access stuff while you're typing to someone. So right now I've got Google Keep up just for the sake of doing the demo, but imagine if you're typing email or if you're doing a text message and a couple of different scenarios happen that Microsoft's Hub keyboard allows you to do it much easier. So one great example is access to your clipboard. So for example, here I've got something that I copied earlier where I said, let me know how it goes. You can look at a list of all your recent things that you've copied. So clipboard access right at your fingertips. So if for some reason you've copied URLs or other information, you can go back and look at the most recent one versus you can see your history of other ones that you've copied, and makes it easy to paste them right in, and they go and it goes right in. So that's the first one. The second one is document access. So now this, unfortunately, I can't show you because it requires a work, school, or university Office 365 account, which I don't have. But if you are an Office 365 user at work, school, or business, what was the other one? I forget what it was. But you can then what it will allow you to do is – I'm going to go back to my screen. It will allow you to access your files that you've saved up on OneDrive and easily paste links to a Word document or a Excel spreadsheet or anything within the Office 365 environment. Admittedly, that is a bit of a limitation. I'm on the Google ecosystem. I'm not on Microsoft. But – who knows? Maybe they'll expand it. Maybe someday I'll move to Microsoft. Who knows? I just like the idea that it exists. The other cool thing is contacts. How often do you get – I text let's say Flo texts me and says, hey, do you have Jason's phone number? And you've got to go out of the app you're in, into contacts, look the person up, copy the phone number. Now all you need to do, you hit the little people head, and it opens up, and you just start typing names, and it comes up with your contacts. And there's Jason right there. If we zoom in, I lost it. But let's see, Jason. And if I tap that, it will plug in Jason's phone number. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to show you all Jason's phone number. But it will, trust me. And then what's also interesting is that you can choose between your Office 365 contacts or your frequent people list, which is handy because if you have a lot of frequent people that you contact, it makes it easier to access them. The last piece is the real neat piece, which ties in a recent app that Microsoft Garage did, access to Translate. So right now, if I want to type something, let's see, I want to say where – hang on. I can't see while I'm doing this. Where – is the bathroom.
Batgirl.
Where's the Batgirl?
There's a glare on the phone, so I can't see what I'm writing. I hit the translate button. I already typed it. Dang it.
Translate to Italian.
So I'll say, so whatever you type instantly gets translated.
Oh.
So, bagno. You can hit the hamburger button and you can change what language you want to translate to. So it's detect it. You can have it on auto detect, or you can tell it what language you're typing in. And then you could choose from any language that you want. I can translate English to English or English to Danish or Czech or Croatian or whatnot. Very, very cool integration with Microsoft Translate. So there you go. So that is Microsoft Hub Keyboard. If you don't want to use any of that stuff, you just hit that and it goes away. Hit that and it comes back. Neat little adventure in terms of accessing other information within your keyboard. Have all the info you need at the tip of your fingers. So it's free in the Google Play Store. It's for Microsoft Hub Keyboard. That wraps it up. Yeah,
it's kind of nice to have that stuff there. You don't have to duck into an app in order to get some of that stuff.
Now I will say, not to disparage my app, but it just shows me how it doesn't have swiping. Capability.
And you realize how much you use
that. And I use SwiftKey, and I'm upset. So I was swiping. It took me a second to be like, oh, right, I'm back to typing.
Yeah.
But if you have never swiped your keyboard, then it doesn't matter. So.
Yeah.
What kind of monster are you?
I know.
Never swiped your keyboard.
Hub Keyboard by Microsoft Garage. God, they're like in the arena like once a month at this point.
I love it. Honestly.
Can we start outlawing this? Because I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, they continue to be interesting apps. They're not Google, so they've kind of fallen to their...
They're not like system apps. They're not so I think it's good.
Cool. So, man, the URL shortener game just gets more and more complicated. So we've got a different lower third or URL for you this week than we normally do, because not only is our normal one not working... But then when I tried to do the bit.ly/the number,
someone had it.
Someone did it. So someone's trying to throw salt in our game. So today's URL is bit.ly slash AAA Show 255.
That's funny.
And if you do it, you can vote for your favorite app this week. Craft, Check, Hound, Flipperlink, or Flipperlink, Flipperlink, and Hub Keyboard. Place your vote, please. Vote once and,
dang,
and be happy. Wow, we'll see. We'll see. I don't believe that. Early returns never mean much.
Yeah.
Craft Check, I'm sure, isn't going to run away with this, but I suppose you never know.
Never know.
Man, Ryan, it's just great to get you on the show. Have to have you back. Really appreciate you taking a couple hours out of your night to talk Android with us tonight.
Not a problem. Anytime you want to have me back, just call.
All right. Fantastic. Tell people a little bit about what you might be working on right now, where they can follow your work, all that kind of stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Whitwam. I usually post links to a lot of the things that I write. I'm, of course, at Android Police and at Greenbot, as we discussed. I write for Geek.com and Extreme Tech and Tested and Wirecutter and probably other places that I am not remembering at this moment. Also, I have a novel that you can buy on Amazon if you're into reading science fiction.
Cool.
It's called The Crooked City, and I have links to it everywhere. So you should go and check that out.
That's awesome. I love me some science fiction. I'm going to check that out, Ryan.
Do it. Excellent. Thank you so much, Ryan. And we'll have you back very soon.
Yeah.
Ron, what about you?
Yes, you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find links to my Instagram and Google Plus and Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff where I'm posting nonsense on a daily basis. And if you like listening to podcasts, go check out ifanboy.com where we're talking about comic books every week. We talk about the comics that just came out that past week. And, of course, you can go to goodfellasminute.com where you can hear us analyze the movie Goodfellas minute by minute. We're in the home stretch. We've only got, I think, about 30 episodes to go, and then it'll be done. So pretty exciting.
It's got to feel good.
Yeah. It's awesome. Tell you, not editing it will feel good.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. What about you, Flo?
You know where to find me, greenbot.com, pcworld.com, and on Twitter at othatflo.
Right on. We'll have you back in the studio next week.
Yes, I'll be back next week. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
It'll be good to be all back together.
Yeah, that's right.
It will. I miss y'all. I miss your smile, and I just miss being breathing the same air as you. And
that was smile, not smell, right?
Yeah.
It was smell.
Okay.
Flo, don't worry about the jokes earlier. You won't fool us. You can bring the ham. We'll forgive you for teasing us about not bringing it. About not getting any. We know you got some, so don't worry.
We know you're hoarding the ham.
Oscar Mayer bologna.
Nice big block of bologna.
I used to love that stuff when I was a kid on some white bread with butter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep, been there, done that. What about you, Brian? Did you used to love Oscar Mayer bologna?
Whoa, we got full Brian tonight.
No, I never did butter with bologna.
I used to eat bologna and ketchup. Crazy.
Huh. That explains a lot.
I'm more curious why we're getting well-lit, Brian, tonight.
That's because I'm preparing my body for the know-how that I'm recording right after this. Padre's back from Barcelona, which I'm guessing you saw him, Flo.
I did.
Yeah.
I
edited that interview you guys did. Good job. We're doing a know-how right after this episode. So if you're watching live, stay tuned for that. I'm sure Padre's still, like, super jet-lagged, so it's going to be a weird episode. They tend to be pretty weird normally, but especially so when it's late like this and I can't talk. So just the lights are helping me wake up again.
Keep you awake. Well, we appreciate that, because if you fell asleep, then you just, I don't know,
then you'd
be switching the show anymore.
You'd have to say, Brian, go to Flo's camera.
Brian.
Go to Flo's camera, Brian.
Brian.
Oops. Start waving at me.
I like the mental image of Brian asleep on the control on the board. Just a little drool.
Yeah.
Why can't you just do a know-how on how to sleep?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So stick around for that.
Yeah.
Stick around for it. About.me/JasonHowell, yellowgoldmusic.com for the music that I do sometimes. I think that's about it. Leave us a voicemail, 347 show AAA.
Whoops. See, I'm already falling asleep back here.
The voicemails were never as funny as they are today. 347 show AAA. Email at AAA@twit.tv. We are at Android Show on Twitter. We are twitaaa.reddit.com on Reddit. We have a subreddit there. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can find our podcasts and shows everywhere around the internet: YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Pocket Addicts, a bunch of others. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific-ish. at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye-bye.